Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was, can you give yourself permission to have, do, and be those? Record and listen. So have, be, and do what you want, what you would like to have, what you would like to do, and what you would like to be.
From the previous assignment.
Mm-hmm. And here's our first caller,
I guess, or not. We might have come to a whole new conclusion in looking at that first assignment for this one. All right, here we go.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Oh, unmuting. This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hey, Jennifer.
Well, good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. It's beautiful here, by the way. There's hummingbirds and birds and sun and flowers and all kinds of good things.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It is good to be alive, isn't it?
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And my to-be was to be happy, and that's the easy one. Because I
Well, say more about that, please.
Well, I can just be happy no matter what. My have and my do, I have really good health, go travel and visit friends and family. That's content. But to be happy, I can be happy without doing those things or doing those things.
Why? That's kind of the whole deal, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Because then you're really freed up. If you travel, you travel. If you don't travel, you don't travel. If you see people, you see them. If you don't see them, you don't see them.
If your health is good, your health is bad, doesn't matter.
Whatever is going on, we can still be happy.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, again, when we have these conversations, I can just see people rolling their eyes. not the people we're talking with, but people in general. You know, that just sounds
crazy,
stupid, whatever would apply. Oh, right. No matter what happens, you're going to be happy. Uh-huh.
Sure.
Is there a lobotomy involved?
Yeah. Right.
And yet, it's absolutely true, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just really realized that. I thought, well, I can't, you know, my health, I've done everything I can do, and then I just, friends and family, and then I was like, but wait, I can just be happy.
Yeah.
So who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. And then everything is icing on the little cake.
That's right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And, of course, then on top of that, we live in beautiful places and there are trees and birds and flowers and, oh, my.
Yeah. There's so much icing on the cake.
Right. So much. The cake can almost become immaterial.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
Jennifer. All right. Enjoy.
All right. I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jennifer. You know, Sherry, I was just looking at this morning about how the conditioned orientation is very much limited in the sense that it operates only on one level, that there is a way of range between content and context, which are sort of different levels of what is. And that part of what we do in awareness practice is expand the awareness so that we're able to hold all those levels together that may seem contradictory at one level, but at sort of a widened perspective or context, they can be held together and are not contradictory. And part of what we do in our practice is the ability to keep moving back to broader and broader perspectives or disidentify to levels of awareness from which the contradictions are not So linear, as in the so in the conditioned world, it's either this or that. It's always opposite. But there is a perspective from which I can be happy and still feel whatever I feel about being in pain. They're not contradictory.
I've just been working on a blog that's going to go up pretty soon that says basically the same thing that we always say. But it has one element in it that is what you're speaking to right now, which is the happy that we were just talking about with Jennifer is an unconditional happy. So if it were part of this blog, I would be writing happy in all uppercase letters. And then there's the dualistic world of ego, where happy is the opposite of unhappy. And those are lowercase experiences. And to me, that's what you're describing with that. In that lowercase conditional experience, identified with a separate self, I can only be happy under these very small, limited circumstances. But as we step back in the way you're describing, we get into that uppercase reality
Well, and given recent events, right, the quote that came up is that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And if we're in a conditioned place, it's like, what about now?
Yes.
When there
yes.
is no justice. But that that context from which perhaps the opportunity in the lack of justice now is the ability to go to the, is to be able to hold that contradiction and find the context from which it's not a contradiction inside of ourselves.
Yes.
And from that place, whatever is available, but that's the resolution of the contradiction implies everybody. That's why it's a long arc, because everybody has got to get to the harmony inside of themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that, as has been pointed out, that's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this process of awareness practice is all about.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Debbie from Minnesota.
Well, hello,
hey,
Debbie.
Hi. So the answer is yes.
Which it always is, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But again, in a dualistic world, then saying yes to one thing might mean saying no to another.
That's right.
So, and then, it leads very naturally onto today's prompt. But I don't want to jump the gun onto today's prompt. But
you Easterners and you people on the other side of the world, you're always a step ahead of us. But, we've grown accustomed to that over time. Yeah.
Well, it just brought a lot of awareness to what it is that gets in the way. And it keeps bringing me back to the same thing that I've spoken about on previous calls, which is that what gets in the way for me is knee-jerk guilt, shame that leads to sort of more compulsive activity and not really tuning in as appropriately as I might to current circumstances and the people around me, but getting that really that resonance that's possible when I'm not, when I don't move into the more compulsive, overdoing is what it is. Even if in healthy directions, it's still overdoing.
That's such a good point. It's not that there's something wrong with the content of the overdoing. It's the process of the overdoing. It's the knee-jerk, frantic, desperate reaction that's the difficulty that you're
finding your way to the other side of.
Yeah, and even if it's not frantic or desperate, it's still not as resonant with the circumstances and the people as it might be. And it's that's compromised by this knee-jerk guilt and shame that I always have to check in on to see if it's appropriate or not appropriate. Particularly in Minnesota, where things are not spoken as plain as they are on the East Coast.
Or the West Coast. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know, the West Coast as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I
love that the whole thing brought that into my awareness. So it's great.
Yeah. And, Debbie, the one that strikes me about this is, you know, as you're taking that breath and tuning in, getting past that that guilt and shame that wants to just come down like a heavy wet blanket on you, the I don't care, I choose unconditional love might be a good direction of the attention, so that she has that comfort and reassurance. You know, I don't care. That voice is talking about guilt and shame, or I'm trained to feel bad under those circumstances. I don't care. I don't care. I choose unconditional love.
That's lovely. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I know you will.
Thank you. Thanks.
You say yes. You're a yes kind of person.
Yes.
Yeah, got it. All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashvini.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
That's so true, right, Sherry, that when we've had the experience of being appropriate in the moment, we know when the process of that is not it is not what we're in or what we're attending to.
Mm-hmm.
That the moment
and
has
we can
such
feel
a,
it.
Yes, there's such an exquisite ability to experience resonance.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, it's not off beat, right?
Right. Yes. And it has that expansive feel that you were describing earlier, that expanded awareness feel, that larger context, the relaxing into allowing everything to be as it is.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that drops in light of the conversation about your blog, right, that in every moment when we feel off, what we're doing is harmonizing. It's all right to feel off because it's an opportunity to encounter all of those places where we are off and then recalibrate.
Yes, just draw those. Just put a little – somebody was talking to me the other day about that, drawing a larger circle of acceptance. And so
mm-hmm.
you can just feel that arm going out to go circle whatever that is and just gently bring it into the circle of compassionate acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And it's so helpful to know something like, I don't care, I choose unconditional love at that
mm-hmm.
moment, because that is the moment of either furthering the groove of dissonance or reconnecting to the resonance.
Yes. Yes, and what we're meant to do is look at the human being, ourselves, from the perspective of ego. Well, that was wrong. That was stupid. You're disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
That's oh my God. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And we're meant to perceive ourselves that way, and that's the power of the I don't care, even if what you're saying were true. Which I know it isn't, but even if it were, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I choose what's true beyond that experience of feeling bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to embrace that feeling bad. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to sneak an arm out there around it, and I'm just going to pull it right into unconditional love.
Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
They're
Hello?
Unmuting, I can tell. I can feel the unmute happening. Can't trust your feelings all the time, can you?
Well, I'm going to try to mute and unmute them one more time to see if it works.
Okay, good. All right, good.
Hello?
Oh, darn.
Okay, well, let me try someone else. Hang on.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Jeff from Ohio.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Good to be on.
Happy you're here.
Yep, happy I'm here. I think that when it talked about permission, I think for me the permission part is that whenever I'm not feeling happy, you know, whenever there's a sense of disturbance, that I know to step back and realize that something is going on, you know, that
yes.
I'm caught up in ego or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs something.
Pardon me?
Somebody needs something. There's a need here.
Yeah. And so I think that was, you know, and it's been, well, I've been trying to sort of expand my world a little bit. And that gets me into those places where there is some disturbance, you know, mm-hmm. new situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it continues to be enlightening to step back and breathe and realize that there are no problems
mm-hmm.
and that everyone's doing the best they can and
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they're all basically love. And so, you know, and it's just stuff drops
That's,
in.
Yeah. Oh, that is so, that sequence, right? So there's the disturbance, okay? Then that's a signal for me to step back and breathe. Remember, there are no problems. Everybody's doing the best they can. All right, where are we now with that expanded awareness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jeff, I think probably the biggest one, well, they're all big. But that realization that everybody is doing the best they can do, that is something that's an awareness that ego fights hammer and tongs.
Yes. And I think part of what helps me with that is just to realize, you know, how much fear there is and that a lot of people are afraid.
Yes.
Right. And they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Ego is fear. Fear is ego. Almost
yep.
everybody is identified with ego all the time. Therefore, everybody is living in fear. No matter how they look, right? We can look any which way. But that doesn't mean that underneath fear isn't running the show. And, of course, we know with other creatures that when there's fear, there can be every kind of reaction, including an instinct to kill.
Yes. And that, as I read it, all the great traditions, you know, talk about fear versus love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are our two choices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Separation or oneness, ego, you know, the conditional or the unconditional. Yeah, it's all the same message, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Thank you, sir.
Great, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
That sequence is the deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I was just having an experience of that this morning, that feeling of lack of harmony, pick up the recorder and talk about it. Because in
mm-hmm.
talking about it, I could get to the place of what was actually going on, not the conversation, but what needed to be resolved from that limited context to the unlimited context. And that's the
yes.
movement that Jeff was describing, that when I breathe and get to that place of there's
no, there's nothing wrong, everyone's doing their best, I'm moving from judgment, which is an ego-limited process, to acceptance, which is a larger context. And if I can train myself to recognize when I'm in, you know, in collapsed states, and then look at how I can get from a collapsed to an expanded awareness state where the contradiction doesn't defeat me, then I have the ability to come from a different perspective, from love.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Rather than judgment or fear.
Yeah. Well, when you just put that together like that, one of my favorite things ever is in the New Testament of the Bible, that what Jesus says over and over and over is don't judge. Over and over. I mean, people get twisted about all these things that supposedly were important to Jesus, that many of them he never mentioned, but that one seemed to be kind of at the forefront of his seeing. Don't judge, and you just put that together. Those are our choices: judgment or love. So that favorite quote of mine. Love answers all the questions that judgment fails to hear. That's why we shouldn't judge. Not that judging makes us a bad person, but that it keeps us outside of the love that we are seeking.
And love's actions are so very different than fear's actions. And we have to get used to the power of a loving action may not be as forceful or impactful as an action out of fear, but there's a way in which it's what, you know, Gandhi taught us, or Mother Teresa, or all of our spiritual heroes, that there is a stance of love that has a power that is so unique, because it's so different from the stance of fear or the actions of fear.
Yeah, Dr. King goes in that list.
That salt march in the Gandhi movie, where people just walk up to be beaten up. I mean, there's not a more powerful moment in terms of that.
Yeah. Yes. Another favorite quote, the fellow, I'll have to Google it and find out who he is so that I can give him credit for it, but who said about Dr. King, "I'm so grateful that I follow someone who is willing to die for what he believes, but not willing to kill for what he believes."
Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're going, huh?
That's where we're going. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mark in Vermont.
Well, Mark is now in Vermont.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Mark is now in Vermont.
On the move.
I was sort of much apropos of the last couple of days. I noticed that, and it's a very slow development, that if I were to characterize being present as being more aware of what lies outside, in other words, not so wound up in my own thoughts, I find that that which is not my thoughts, i.e. probably not conditioning, is so much more varied, so much more possible, that I am enticed to wonder what beautiful thing is awaiting me there that I might miss. It's a curiosity.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you're giving me chills.
And lately
it's kind of like living in a closet.
right?
Yeah.
And, sometimes people use the image of a jail cell, prison cell, you know, and it's, I've decorated, it's beautiful. I love it. It's so me.
Yeah.
And then you walk outside.
Yeah, exactly. And that the ability to walk outside, because I mostly live outside, if I can possibly arrange it, is that's been with me for a long time. But a couple of years ago, we were talking, and my concern was that I'm meditating facing a concrete wall in a box inside of other boxes, et cetera, in the city, and I was feeling like there was no possibility for that kind of wonder. And I'm here to report that that's actually conditioning, right? Because there's the possibilities of the external reality, or however you want to put that. It's really kind of a continuation of me-ness, really, are limitless.
Well, and the fun thing to me, Mark, about what you're describing, so now we have to go with this image, right? There you are, sitting in front of a concrete wall inside a box, and that's your portal.
Yes.
Right? Because we can walk outside in nature, and we get, you know, we get a hint of it. But when we walk outside in the way that you're describing, oh my.
Right. So I take that, my experience of what you just said, is that the experience that I have of walking out in nature is actually fundamentally, if I stay centered, if I am in my Dantian, is fundamentally the same as walking through my interior reality. Because I'm the same being. The nature being and all of that is all one thing, one being.
Yes. Yes. And you can get a feel of that in nature, right? For many of us, we can feel it in nature in a way we can't in a shopping mall. Now,
definitely.
Is it possible in the shopping mall? Of course, because it is all one suchness, but it's harder for most of us to experience it because the shopping mall reflects all the distraction, all the conditional, right? Whereas nature, we walk out into it and we have that feeling of, I love you. Do you love me? And we sense the lack of judgment. We bring no judgment. We feel no judgment. It's very easy for us. And then when we sit down in front of that blank wall and we walk out into nature in uppercase letters.
Right.
Yeah. There we are.
Right. There's an intermediate step, which I've been, by happenstance, exploring, and that is the body, that this reality that I live, that I have more kind of tactile experience of. And I've had a small, really minor medical thing that I actually caused all by myself, and it is working its way through, and it's taking a while. It's taking, you know, months and months. And it causes a lot of discomfort occasionally. And I get to very first, look at it, stay with it. So I'm not running from it. I'm addressing it. And then eventually come to a curiosity about, well, just like the nature one, well, what is that? And what does that feel like? And what other things am I feeling that are near there? And, you know, and it goes on and on. It's not afraid. And I will not describe it as pain any longer. I will describe it as sensation.
And Mark, I wanted to go full circle back to what Jennifer started us out with, because I'm going to suggest, and Jeff's little sequence, that what enables you to do that is having practiced long enough that you know there's nothing wrong. You know everything is doing its best, including your body to heal, including the injury to do whatever it does, or the condition. And you know that you can be happy regardless, as long as you're here.
Right. Right. And that leads me to, or has led me in this ongoing development, to noticing when I'm actually upset, or, you know, when conditioning has got me, basically, to noticing, as you've been saying forever, but I finally got it, noticing how I experience that physically in my body. Where does that, and of course, as you've said, and, you know, it's obvious when you get there, you're very present, but it's with that goes this curiosity and this delight in the myriad of possibilities.
Yes. Yes. Endless, isn't it?
Endless.
Infinite. Yeah.
Yeah. And it could be incredibly beautiful 1 second and boring the next. But generally speaking, because I'm constantly excited about the possibilities of it, it's always interesting.
Yes. Even the boredom. Even when ego comes in and tries to make a case for boring, even that's interesting.
And it's making this case, and I'm starting to feel like really grrr. And then it's like, well, what does that actually physically feel like? And how does that feel? And where does that affect how this feels over here? And, oh, my gosh, look at this.
Yeah. And we no longer have to wonder why curiosity is stamped out in children just as early as it can possibly be stamped out. Because curiosity for ego, a curious human is a grave danger to ego.
It killed the cat, as I understood.
Yeah. Well, there's an image. All right. Well, thank you, Mark.
So, thank you.
You keep having fun, okay?
I'm working on it. You bet.
All right. Good.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. And the question for today is, what stops you? How are you stopped? Record and listen. And this is, how are you stopped from having, doing, and being what you want to have, do, and be?
I love this progression, don't you? The build up to each of the next things we're looking at. It's really fun. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Huh?
Yes, and we'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
All right. Bye. Gotcha.
Take care.